from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry-Callis here with you on the Fan Morning Show. Crowley has been out today, obviously. We'll be back on Monday, and we go full steam ahead of football season starting Monday and obviously a little bit today. But right now, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Noah Hiles, he's joining the show. Noah, you are in Phoenix, Arizona right now. You're going to be covering the Pirate game tonight. Have you stopped at In-N-Out Burger yet?
I have not. I went to a pretty nice restaurant. I believe it's called the Blue Dog, which is downtown. Got myself some nice salmon, clean the first day getting to town. And then you get into the mud a little bit as the series progresses, in my opinion. So I will stop at In-N-Out before I hit the road to my next destination, which is Houston.
How hot is it down there? Because Houston's a different type of animal now. Like, compared to Arizona and Phoenix, like Houston, that's the humidity. Arizona, Phoenix, I mean, it's more of a dry heat. Is it hot or is it kind of decent?
It's 6 a.m. here and it's already 85 degrees.
Wow.
Yesterday, when I arrived at my hotel, it was 111 degrees at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Ooh.
So there's not a lot of people out and about. Like I kind of talked to the people in the hotel lobby and I was like, is this like an active area? And they're like, it is during the winter and the fall, but during the spring and summer, you don't see a lot of people around downtown Phoenix just because it is scorching.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, Noah, we're 4 days away to the trade deadline. What are you hearing on the Pirates front? What are some names that would make sense? Callis and I have been playing a game throughout the show at the 45s of every hour of I throw out a name to him and he tells me if it makes sense or not for the Pirates to trade for, or a trade piece on the Pirates in the Pirates organization that it would make sense for them to trade away to get somebody back in order to enhance this lineup. So what are you hearing?
I'm hearing I wish I had something sexier for you, Doran, but I mean, everything that I've heard kind of matches what I've been told for the last couple of weeks. They're just hitting up as many teams as possible, inquiring about a lot of players. I'd have to imagine that this weekend they start to truly hone in on a couple of targets. Some names that make the most sense to me would be Tommy Pham, Taylor Ward, and Jesse Winker. Those are three corner outfielders. A Pham can even play center field, who are all on expiring deals. None of them are obviously game changers as an individual addition, But I think what this team needs more than anything are players that kind of round out the lineup. I really don't hate the top five batters in this order when everyone's healthy in there. It's the guys 6 through 9 that need to hold their end of the bargain. And if you get a Tommy Pham or a Jesse Winker, you can either put them in the bottom end of the lineup or you have them at the top half and you can move Nick Gonzalez out of the cleanup spot and he can be lower in the order. And I mean, that's a pretty good bat to have in your 6, 7, 8 spot. So those are, I think, realistic moves. As far as guys that could be traded, we'll start at the major league level. I look at a guy like Quinn Priester as very ideal trade bait. He's a former top 100 prospect. He's still only 23 years old. I think he's shown sizable growth in year two of the big leagues for him compared to year one. And I think that a team, considering what they're going to be trading for, Priester's a guy you could dangle in front of a team if you're looking to get someone like Taylor Ward, who has multiple years of control. I think you could say, hey, here's a young pitcher. We have a lot of this already. He might not even be in the rotation next year or the year after that, but he could be a top four guy for you. So you get a starting pitcher, we'll take your outfielder, and that could be a straight up thing. Another thing Charrington's talked about is the possibility of multiple teams in contention doing a true baseball trade, which is just big leaguer for big leaguer. And if you're going that route, I think a guy like Marco Gonzalez could make sense, just because he's on an expiring deal. Once Bailey Falter comes back, you have another starting pitcher already. And I think that Marco's veteran presence, and I mean, he's thrown the ball decent, albeit in a small sample size. You can maybe get a fourth outfielder or something like that if you're looking to get some depth. So those are major league guys. As far as minor league goes, unless they're going out and getting an elite player with multiple years of control, I don't see them dealing anybody in their top five. But there are a lot of really talented pitchers in Bradenton right now or in Greensboro. A guy like a Hunter Barco or a guy like a Patrick Riley. You know, some guys who have been recently drafted who have some solid numbers. But, I mean, it's going to be a while till they get up here. And where are they going to go?
Right.
You know, so, like, those are guys that I would look at as far as trade possibilities, as far as prospects are concerned.
So is Brent Rooker just wishful thinking for Pirates fans?
Yeah, and the reality is, I mean, that guy's a DH, and the Pirates don't need to upgrade their designated hitter position. I mean, Brent Rooker is a better designated hitter than Andrew McCutchen, but neither of those guys are going to play right field every day for you.
Right.
So it'd be the same thing as, like, yeah, if there was a good shortstop out there, sure, you could go get him, but, like, you already have a shortstop. So, his bat would look tremendous in this lineup. I think it would fix a lot of problems. You put him right in the cleanup spot, and like I said, you can move Gonzalez down in the order, and now you have something cooking here. But I just don't know where you put him in the order, because you're not benching McCutchen, you're not playing McCutchen in right field, and you're definitely not playing Rooker in right field. So I just don't see how that fits. And then based off of conversations we've had, I think Rooker might probably be the biggest name dealt at the deadline. And considering how hungry so many teams in baseball are for a power bat right now, I don't think the Pirates would be willing to be the highest bidder for a guy that plays a position that they already have a good player at.
Now, Luis Ortiz is pitching tonight, and, you know, every series is a big series for the Pirates, and, you know, they're in four in a row. They've won four series in a row. You know, they are somewhat hot right now, or they're teetering about getting pretty hot. I don't want to jinx him or anything, but has Luis Ortiz gotten enough credit for what he has done this year, or has he been just overshadowed by Paul Skeens, by Mitch Keller, by Jared Jones, and, you know, the top three of the pitching staff?
I think he's starting to get credit, and I think that this is a guy that, if he can continue this, we should be looking at him in the same light as we look at, you know, it should be Skeens, Jones, Keller, and Ortiz, because it wasn't long ago that this was supposed to be one of the future guys.
Yeah.
You know, when he was coming up, he was viewed in the same breath as Roansy Contreras, you know, and obviously that didn't work out, but I think that people gave up on him and forgot about him way too early. I mean, the guy's still only 25 years old. he didn't have a bad spring, but the way the Pirates developed him this year, putting him in that bullpen role, allowing him to build up, and it's worked out perfect because now he's going to have the freshest arm in the team on any starter going into the second half because he's not had any injuries and he's gradually built up, similar to what Skeens did in the minor leagues. This guy did in the and he got a lot better. I mean, he started learning how to throw a cutter in April. How many major league pitchers do you hear learning to throw a pitch mid-season? And per Baseball Savant, it's his most valuable pitch. So it's not only just something he learned. It's been a difference maker for him. And so I think this is a guy that, as far as I'm concerned, is a player that fans should be excited for, not only this year, but moving forward. I don't think he has the high-end upside that Skeens and Jones and Keller possess, but this is a guy that a lot of people would feel very lucky to have as their number four starter right now. He's throwing the baseball very well.
Who's had a bigger impact, in your opinion? Rowdy Tellez or Nick Gonzalez?
Man, that's tough. I would say Nick, just because he's been consistent, more consistent. I mean, Rowdy over the last month and a half has been really good. Mm-hmm. But I think this team changed when Nick came up. You know, everyone circles May 11th as the date where the Pirates have been a different ball club. And they're right. Since Skeens debuted, this team's 7 games over .500. But Nick Gonzalez came up the same time as Skeens. He played one day earlier. And the lineup's been different with him. I think it's, A, just having someone who – and if you look at Nick's numbers, this isn't a guy who's setting the world on fire. He's, by a lot of accounts, a league-average hitter. But that's what this team was missing. They had two or three guys who were doing all of the work, and then the rest of them were well below league average. And just having another league average bat who could come through and drive in a run here and there or get a double, get on base, move a guy over and score into scoring position, that's been the difference maker. And he has consistently been that guy since he's arrived. His approach is different, which I think throws off opposing pitchers, whereas you see so many other guys on this team taking multiple pitches. Nick Gonzalez is a first-pitch hitter. And I think that's benefited him tremendously late game situations. So I would go with him just because he's been impactful from the moment he's arrived.
Noah, we will check in with you multiple times before the end of the season. But on September 29th, the last game of the season against the Yankees, what will the story be about the Pittsburgh Pirates? Like, where would they be at, in your opinion, in hindsight? Where would they be on September 29th, and what will we be saying about them?
I think we'll be talking about 2025. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely confident that this is a playoff team just yet. I think there will be two storylines. I think there will be one where pessimists will be looking at the many winnable ball games that this club surrendered and think, man, this is a better team than the New York Mets. This is a better team than the Padres or whoever else, or God forbid the Cardinals, and they should be ahead of them. They should be playing in October right now. But I also think that people are going to look at the developments that did take place this year. They're going to look at O'Neill Cruz and say, that guy is as good as we thought he could be, and he's going to be even better next year. They're going to look at the starting pitching and say, we've got a lot of options coming into 2025. They're going to look at Nick Gonzalez and Reynolds, and they're going to say, this is a team that's probably going to be the odds-on favorite to win the Central in 2025. So there's going to be some frustration knowing that they could have made the playoffs this year, but there's also going to be a lot of optimism knowing that it's really going to be for real next year. So it's not the answer I'd hope to give. I would love to be gearing up to cover October baseball more than anyone, mm-hmm. but I'm not completely sold just yet, just because of, with the Pirates, it's kind of like, I got to see it before I say it.
Right. Noah, thank you so much. Thank you for waking up. I know it's early there, 6 a.m., and get yourself some In-N-Out Burger during this series, and hopefully the Pirates can keep that trend going and win another series and make that 5 in a row. Thank you, man.
We'll see. Thanks for having me on, Dorn.
You're the man. Thank you. Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Oh, man, Kyle, she heard that. He said that we're going to be talking about 2025 whenever we approach the end of the season here.
I don't like it.
I don't like it, but I understand where he's coming from, and I think that it's kind of I think that most people will be split, I think, because it could go either way. It really could. It's going to come down to that last series, probably. Mm-hmm. It's going to. You know it is. You're going to finish the season with the Yankees. You're going to start the 2025 season with the Yankees. And the Yankees, they could either make or break you. I know it's going to come down to that. But it's going to make for an exciting next month or 2 months.
I think I said that. I think I said that last week.
It's going to come down to the Yankees. Yeah, you did.
They're not doing great. But no. I think I'm on the other side. I think they're going to beat the Yankees because the Yankees have been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make the playoffs because they win that series.
Coming up next, T.J. Watt. He spoke about a certain player that the Steelers haven't had or seen in a while. We'll hear from him.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fast. I mean, very fast, quick, a couple TFLs just in OTAs, and just to be able to have speed like that on the defense side of the ball, sideline to sideline as an inside linebacker is a huge asset. And then to be able to have a guy who can wear the green dot and be really well in communication, that's what we're here for.
Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. That was TJ Watt talking about Patrick Queen, the new addition at middle linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Patrick Queen, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, and that's a position that they haven't had solidified in a long time. And, you know, ever since Ryan Shazier's injury, they've been trying and trying and trying different guys, drafting Devin Bush to be that green dot guy, be that middle linebacker that can really set your defense up and be that quarterback of the defense. They've gone through so many guys. And last year, I thought they had the right approach. Last year, I thought that they had the right formula, but injuries happen. You signed Quan Alexander right before training camp or maybe even during training camp. He was a veteran linebacker. You obviously signed Cole Holcomb before the season last year. He was a veteran linebacker. You had Atlanta Roberts that you signed as well. veteran linebacker. So that linebacking core last year, I thought, was a nice bright spot in the beginning of the season. And then the injuries happened. Quan Alexander tears his Achilles and Cole Holcomb busts his knee up. And you're kind of left like, man, like, where do we turn? Where do we turn? I mean, Landon Roberts can only do so much, and I think that Landon Roberts is a fantastic football player, fantastic linebacker, but could be exposed in the passing game. I thought that they did right last year. They just had the bad bug. They had the bad bug. And now this year they turn around and they pay Patrick Queen, who is solidified as one of the best, better linebackers in the NFL, and signing him away from the Baltimore Ravens, I thought that that was a great move. Paying him some money and making sure that that spot is concrete. Now you have Patrick Queen. You have a Landon Roberts. You're feeling really good about that middle linebacker spot. Then you draft Peyton Wilson. You're feeling really good about that middle linebacker spot. And at some point this year, Cole Holcomb will come back and he'll be healthy. So, you know, hearing TJ Watt talk about what Patrick Queen can bring to the table, that's something that's been missed from this defense for so, so long. And going sideline to sideline. And, not, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think that Patrick Queen is a product of the Ravens defense, is a product of Roquan Smith. Patrick Queen is a dog. Patrick Queen is a dog. He's exactly what the Pittsburgh Steelers want, exactly what the Pittsburgh Steelers need at linebacker. And this has turned into one of the better position groups on this team. It literally has. And I mean, you have to be so excited to be able to see high-level linebacking play because, you know, it's one thing that you have Minkah Fitzpatrick back there and Joey Porter Jr., who we're going to hear from next. He spoke yesterday going into his second year, and to have Cam Hayward on the D-line, TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith. I get that. Those guys are star players. But the defense and the way to play football and how the defense is structured, it does go through the middle linebacker. You have to have somebody to be able to set up the defense. As I was speaking about earlier, how Pat Freiermuth and the tight ends dictate what the defense does and how they line up. Strong side, weak side, getting guys aligned, getting the plays and the defensive coverages and stunts and blitzes reiterated in the huddle to your teammates. You're the general of the defense, and if you don't have a confident guy that's very instinctive, it's hard to put a whole entire defense together and to be successful at it. Now, this is, you know, we're 1 day into training camp, and, you know, we haven't even put the pads on yet, but, I mean, just go on YouTube and look at Patrick Queen's clips, and you know what he's going to bring to the table. You obviously know what Landon Roberts brings to the table. Now you have almost that completion of your defense. You sign somebody that can play in the box, and Deshaun Elliott. Now you could free up Minkah Fitzpatrick and let him be that center fielder in his natural position, not have to do too many things, not have to think too much, and be out of position. I mean, yesterday was a promising day for Dante Jackson, a guy that they traded Deontay Johnson for. So, I mean, this defense could shape up being pretty damn good this year. If they all stay healthy, T.J. Watt's going to be T.J. Watt. Alex Highsmith's going to be Alex Highsmith. You get, you know, a deal done, a team-friendly, and, you know, a deal that'll make, I guess, Cam Hayward happy. Get him locked up for maybe a year or two extra. So now you have your D lineman who's healthy back. That is 6'5", 300-plus pounds. You don't get those guys as much anymore in the NFL. You have a young guy in Keanu Benton who's going to be a dog this year. Dog. And you have, you know, some other guys to fill in. It is thin on the D-line, but you have some other guys that could fill in at times. So, you know, with hearing T.J. Watt say that Patrick Queen is fast and Patrick Queen is different and you just have that leadership at that position, it does alleviate everybody else. You can trust that guy. You know that guy's going to put you in the right spot. Say, like, you know, Keanu Benton is lined up in a different shade on the D-line, but Patrick Queen sees something that he gets a tip that the play is going to be run into a, you know, into the B gap, and Keanu Benton's in the A gap, and smacks his butt and slides him over a little bit. That's what Patrick Queen and a good linebacker could bring to the table, getting you in good positions to play, not having to think too much. Let him do the thinking, and then let him run and react and tackle. such an instinctive position. I feel like you have to be born to play linebacker. I mean, it's old school football. It's back in the day. That's how football was made to be played. It was downhill, tackle, see ball, hit ball, shed blocks, get to the ball carrier, get after the quarterback. And Patrick Crane has all those attributes to do that. I'm very excited about him, as you can tell. I'm very, very excited about that addition to the Steelers defense. It was just so needed for many, many years now. And I think that they finally have found their guy. Coming up next, we're going to hear from Joey Porter Jr., who is going into his second year. Was very raw last year, but just so showed so many promising qualities and characteristics as a long, tall, physical corner. And I think he's primed to have a big year this year. And we're going to hear from him after his first day, what he learned, maybe some other guys that have been additions to the cornerback room that he's excited about. He spoke to the media yesterday. We're going to hear from him next. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Doran Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis with you behind the glass. Callis, have you missed Crowley at all?
Yeah, no, I get to talk more when he's not here.
You like talking more?
I do. Especially baseball, yeah.
Have you felt less stressed?
Yeah, I feel like you keep things real chill, and you seem to like have this, you know, faith and trust in me, you know. And sometimes I think he doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I can feel that. You guys go back and forth a lot.
I don't know why. I've never had a problem with him.
I mean, you definitely get underneath his skin. And sometimes, like, whenever you purposely get underneath his skin, you'll poke your head in here and you'll get underneath his skin on purpose. And I know that you're doing it on purpose. And then you close the door and then he whines to me about it. And I'm like, Crowley, like, he's doing it on purpose and you're letting him win. Like, he's doing it on purpose. He's like, no, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's not.
Well, there would be times I actually try to be helpful and he doesn't like that.
That too. I don't think he knows which one is which.
Not my problem.
Yeah. Yeah. You think he's tired right now? We talked about this yesterday. Being a dad compared to a mom, like moms are just unbelievable and dads are just kind of blah. And then whenever we get put into the mom's shoes, it is way, way harder than you expect. It's way harder than it seems.
I don't know what it feels like personally, but I can't. I don't want to imagine it.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like a great time this weekend. Two girls, one 6 months old. Yeah, 7 months actually now. I think
it's tough.
Yep,
it's tough. Joey Porter Jr. He talked to the media yesterday. Primed to have a big season, a big sophomore season, a big second season as the cornerback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, we all loved the pick 2 years ago in the second round. Whenever they picked Joey Porter Jr. out of Penn State, he's obviously a Pittsburgh guy, went to North Allegheny, dad being Joey Porter, a guy that I grew up watching. You know, he has all the pedigree to be a fantastic and be one of the top cornerbacks in the league. Will he do that this year?
How'd you play?
For yourselves on that side, how do you feel it's coming together with some of those moving parts?
I feel like it's going pretty good. You know, OTAs happened, we got together, and now the first day in training camp is pretty smooth. We just got to keep growing and building as a unit.
As a team, do you feel like you guys have undergone a lot of change, and just what's the key to getting things to come together quickly?
Yeah, we definitely got a lot of new faces from last year to this year, and Coach, main thing of coming out here is just to bond as a team and as a unit, and I feel like that's what we're going to do for this next month.
Joey, is that a good thing, new faces here?
Yeah, I feel like it is. You know, we got some new pieces, and it's always cool to solve them and where we're going to put them at. So I'm just excited with the new players we got. They came here ready to work, and let's do it.
Do you guys come here with a chip on your shoulder a little bit? Do you feel like you have anything to prove more than what you did last year?
Of course. You know, the whole goal is always to win the Lombardi and hold that up at the end of the year. And we didn't get to do that last year, so we're trying again this year. That's always the main goal.
Right. How's the relationship growing with Dante? How's that working with you guys?
Going good. You know, that's my dog. I was always a big fan of him, so the fact that I'm on the same side of the ball and him playing with him is a dream come true on my part. So I just try to learn from him every day as much as possible.
Why did you always like him so much?
I just liked his gameplay. I liked his chirpiness. You know, he go at people. That's what I kind of do, too. So we kind of got the same similarities in that. So I just like his game overall.
Joey, when you look back to last year, did they start you at the right time, or do you think you were ready sooner?
I felt like I was always ready, you know. Just that confidence I had coming in, I always thought I was ready. But it worked out best how they did it. And, you know, it's a long season. It's way different from college, you know. So just getting that as a rookie and understanding that, I feel like it was probably the best decision.
Right away today, Jackson made a couple plays. Elliott made a couple plays. Is that emblematic of what you were talking about before, the carryover of the work that you guys did to have it come together on day one?
Yeah, you know, it's always good for the for those guys to come in and make plays off the rip, you know, just to show what they can bring to the table. And I already know that they're great players, so the fact that they could prove it out here day one is good to see.
Joey, on the other side of the ball, what does Russell bring to this team, not only to the offense, but to the team in general?
Just a leadership role, you know. He's a vocal guy. He's going to speak up when he needs to and just make the calls when it's tough.
I give Joey Porter Jr. so much credit. I really do, because whenever you are a child of somebody that is successful, whether it's sports, whether it's business, you always get the nepotism talk, and you always get compared, and having your father or even your mother be brought up all the time. And that's a difficult thing to deal with. Like, I mean, no, I know people think that situations aren't as difficult as anybody else, but that's a difficult thing to juggle and to have to make your own name for yourself. I mean, look at LeBron James' son, Bronny James. Now, that's a whole different situation. I don't think that Bronny James will ever get out of LeBron James' shadow, but if you want to be Pittsburgh-centric, like Joey Porter, you know, senior, Joey Porter Jr.'s dad, who's Joey Porter, you know, he did a lot of great things here in Pittsburgh. And you would think that Joey Porter Jr. would always be compared, and especially his playing career, be compared to his dad and what his dad did. And always his dad be brought up. His dad was a Steeler, you know, this, that, Joey Porter. And Joey Porter Jr., within a very, very short year, has done an unbelievable job of making a name for himself. And I, at this point, every time Joey Porter Jr. is being brought up, his dad fades away. Not in a bad way. Like, you still know who Joey Porter is, but you never have that really, that link anymore. You know, it's Joey Porter Jr. And he did that himself by his play, by going out there, making a name for himself. And that's what he always ever wanted to do. And that's what I think every kid ever wants to do whenever you're in a situation like that. Like, I want to do this for me. Like, I want to make my own name. I want to create my own path, my own journey. And Joey Porter Jr. is definitely on his way of creating his own journey. But I really think that he has put everything to rest of who his dad is. I don't see anybody ever linking or comparing or bringing his dad up whenever you're talking about Joey Porter Jr. anymore. And that is a huge, huge credit to him. A huge credit, because that is tough. That is tough to try to get out of that shadow, especially being here and living here in Pittsburgh and playing for the Steelers. Like, you know, you guys all know what the situation is. But I do give him a lot of credit, and he's going to have I think he's going to have a fantastic year this year. He's going to be one of the top corners in the league. You could just tell he's primed and ready. He got his feet wet last year, and heading into this season is going to be a big season for him. They're putting a lot on his shoulders, and I think he can handle that. But just I just wanted to say that real quick. Like, you don't really hear the link anymore. Like, coming out in the draft, yes, you're Joey Porter's son, Joey Porter Jr. Joey Porter played for the Steelers. Joey Porter Jr. gets drafted by the Steelers. Will he live in his dad's shadows? Are the Steelers just drafting him because they're familiar with Joey Porter? Don't really hear any of that stuff anymore. And that's hard to get out of that shadow. So a lot of credit to Joey Porter Jr. and guarantee that he has a big year for the Steelers this year. Coming up next, we will wrap up the show. Kyle, this is your jingle. How long did this take you to put together?
Maybe a day.
Yeah? Like a whole day?
I guess not.
How many hours?
A couple hours. I had the beat in my head, and then I just needed to transfer it to music.
When did you figure out you learned how to do these things? Like, that's not an easy thing to do.
I had written music when I was in high school for a little while. Just for, like, you know, my own expression purposes. Maybe when I was... when I started to learn the glockenspiel in band.
The what?
Because that later...
The what?
What
is it?
You ever heard the little... It sounds like... You know, the Tinkerbell sounding thing? Like, ding, 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 you know? I don't know how to explain it. But, like, yeah. It's a mallet percussion instrument that's metal and has a real high-pitched sound. But all your mallet percussion is like a piano. All the notes are pretty much structured the same. So when I learned how to play those mallet percussion instruments, I learned the piano, and from the piano I learned different chords and triads and things, and I just, you know, played around with it, and I felt after a while that I obtained a talent for it.
How many instruments can you play?
Two, piano and drums.
You can't play guitar?
I tried to experiment with the bass because I love bass instruments. I love the bass instrument, but I can't play it. I can't. I don't finger those notes well.
Mm. Yeah.
Sure, Crowley would be laughing at that right
he
now.
He would be. He would be. I tried notes. Hard. I tried hard right now. Yeah.
You're keeping a straight face.
Yeah, I am. That's an interesting talent. Like, I mean, I just, I can't. That doesn't work. I'm not in sync of that. The musical. I'm not musically inclined.
My family's very musically gifted, I would
did
say.
Did you have a music class in school?
I did.
In high school?
Yeah. And also went to a jazz camp at Duquesne University for 2 years.
Did you?
Really like, harnessed my skills.
Was it like band camp?
Yeah, it was like a week. You stayed there in dorms and, well, I didn't stay because
I
lived
like
right
band
here,
camp.
But yeah, people who came out of, you know, out of state and, and stayed in the dorms, and we did music for a whole day, yeah, with some professionals from the area. Is that funny?
Because, so you're trying to tell me, like, the jazz camp was like band camp.
Yeah.
Okay. Same things that went on in band camp went on in jazz camp, basically?
No, actually, I wouldn't say that, because it's not a marching band. We were inside. And it was more like there were times where we were being instructed along with learning how to play things, and then there was a concert at the end of the week that we got to demonstrate the skills that we learned. So it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't like marching around.
You didn't demonstrate the skills that you learned at jazz camp?
I think I did. I played in a concert.
Was it?
I think there's a video of me, actually.
Was it co-ed?
Yeah.
That's how band camp is, too.
I screwed up the brakes, by the way. We need to get out in like 2 minutes.
Okay. So I obviously take it that you've never seen the movie American Pie.
No.
Yes, Bandcamp. If you have some time, look up Bandcamp American Pie in your off time, and you'll see why I was laughing. The 50-minute mark of the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Social media's Biggest Loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. It is, again, Paul Feinbaum. He has now called out another college football head coach, and that is Matt Rhule. Putting Matt Rhule, or trying to put Matt Rhule, who is the head coach of Nebraska, in his place. Last week, I believe it was Lane Kiffin he tried to come at. So Paul Feinbaum has a motive here, which is very interesting and very odd. So he is social media's Biggest Loser. If you haven't seen that interview with Paul Feinbaum, Bandcamp. Interesting, Callis. Yeah, take a look at that whenever you have some downtime.
So you're laughing because there was a reference in the movie that I don't get.
Correct.
Okay.
That a lot of people will get. It's okay. It's all good. As long as they're the same. As long as they're the same. All right, we'll see you next week. Monday, Crowley's back. Callis, good job today. We will see you next week. Have a great weekend to all of you out there. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 83, low of 58. Tomorrow, high of 88, low of 61. See you next week.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.